You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that wants to let you know that Mom said it's my turn on the Xbox. I'm Cody, and I was really looking forward to playing Jet Set Radio Future.
I'm Sam. I have no follow-up for this.
I'm Josh, and we were playing Fusion Frenzy.
And this week we have a special guest from the Teach a Dummy podcast, BJ. BJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Happy to have you. So we have a bunch of news to go over. We're also going to be talking a lot about WandaVision. This is kind of our big WandaVision spoiler cast. We are going to be talking about details of the show. We are going to get pretty in-depth with it. So what I think we're going to do this week, we're going to mix up the formula a little bit. We're touching the formula. And we're actually going to do the news in the first half of the show. And let's see if I can hit the correct button on the old soundboard. I don't know.
Nice.
We haven't played the seal of approval
yeah.
in a while, so it's good. It's a nice callback.
At least you didn't play the one where I'm singing.
No, that's for next break.
Oh.
All right, so yeah, let's go ahead and talk about some of the news. So what do we have on the big board, you guys?
I saw Evil Dead Rise on there, so what's going on with that? Somebody explain that to me.
Evil Dead Rise is officially going to start filming soon.
Yeah, so it's the newest...
It's the sequel to the last Evil Dead movie that came out, which was the Evil Dead remake or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Where it had the
female protagonist.
Yeah, the Ashley. Female protagonist that was Ash.
It was okay. The Lady yeah. Ghostbusters, the Evil Dead movies.
Yeah,
okay.
But this it's the follow up to that, but it's not going to feature any of the characters from the previous one. It's just set in that universe, and there's going to be more Deadites and stuff like that.
And you know, and Bruce Campbell is producing it like he did the last one, and
he's probably going to show up somewhere because Bruce Campbell can't not be on screen
well,
given the opportunity.
In the last one, all it was like kind of like a. Like during the opening credits, it's just him going groovy.
Oh, and that's and you know really? What? That's fine.
I didn't even see that. I'm sorry, I didn't see that one. I watched the show when they had the show.
The show's great. Oh, yeah,
I've heard it's good.
What was it? It was
I forget what
it
the,
was. Something the Evil Dead.
It was on Stars.
Yeah,
but it was really well done.
I remember watching like the first episode. That was about all I really got
was
out
it
of it.
Just called Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
But I thought it had a good blend of like the humor and the Deadites and the. I don't know, everything that I... My favorite was Army of Darkness, and I'm sure...
Oh, yeah, Army of Darkness is purely the best one.
Watch that all the time.
But it's also the most campy, on purpose,
I think. Great.
I have never seen it. Can you see
surprise!
Really? Yeah.
This is my surprise face.
I have seen the first Evil Dead, and that's it.
Oh, not even Evil Dead 2?
The cheapest and least comedic of the bunch.
Comedic.
That's the one I
comedic,
would end up seeing.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedic, not on purpose.
The corniest, like indiest one.
Yeah, that makes okay. That makes
I don't
sense.
Know, man. Army of Darkness is really corny, and sometimes I can't tell if they did it on purpose or not.
I didn't care. I loved every.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
I so really enjoyed the alternate ending. Have you ever seen that? To Army
the
of
one
Darkness?
Where he lands with the card. I know what it is. I've seen it a few times. I think I've got
it's
one of
the... It's post-apocalyptic Ash.
Yes.
He ends up getting trapped in a cave or something and yes. Wakes up like 1,000 years, like in the future, or a couple thousand years
in
the future.
Like a Mad Max Ash?
Yeah, it's like Mad Max Ash. But he has like a giant like
beard.
Fake beard and stuff.
No, I've not seen
no,
that.
No, it's great, yeah.
I've always seen the ending where he ends up back at the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the theatrical ending.
Yeah.
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 I got to hear all of his lines come out of Duke Nukem first.
True.
Unfortunately.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Well, all of Duke Nukem's lines come from Evil Dead and
They Live.
They Live.
Yeah.
And the boot camp scenes from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah.
It's mostly Army of Darkness though.
That's true. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, they're filming it. I'll probably watch it. I don't know. I watched the first one once. Like I went to theaters and I was like, it was okay.
It was fine. It was a fine as far as remakes and retellings and reimaginings go. It was perfectly fine. It wasn't.
It did have. It's kind of
upsettingly bad or anything like that.
I mean, it is kind of an
Sam
evil
walking out crying. I can't believe they did that to my movie.
Yeah. ruined my childhood by making Evil Dead bad.
I mean,
and they put a girl in it.
I don't know, man. When me and Sam went and watched the first Ninja Turtles reboot movie.
Oh, that was
I still haven't seen those.
That was an angry day.
Oh, I was mad. I was mad leaving the theater at that one. That one was.
To be fair, though, we were also mad going into the theater.
Well, there were
extenuating circumstances
that caused us to not be having a good day going into the theater. But that movie didn't help.
Oh no, it made it worse.
Yeah,
it really kicked you while you were down.
Oh, yep. It did.
Oh, speaking of movies we went and saw, are you looking forward to the Zack Snyder Justice League? Because we saw Justice League in theaters.
I know we did.
And that was a waste of 2 hours. And now...
A four-hour movie? No thanks.
By the time this airs, the four-hour version of it is going to be on HBO
Max. Oh, it's already out.
Oh, that's right. It is already out.
It's already out. One of my friends on Facebook already posted about it.
Oh, BJ, you're looking kind of confused. So
okay, I apologize. No worries. This is out of my realm.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. So, when the Justice League movie was originally
in production,
okay, the director Zack Snyder had to leave about 3/4 of the way through.
Why?
And, family related stuff. Okay. Kind of a bummer.
Cool.
Want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not inappropriately touching people or
nothing like that. No, his daughter sadly died. Rather suddenly.
And that kind of stuff actually apparently happened after Zack Snyder left.
Oh, really?
Is that not what it was?
No.
What was it that Joss Whedon got in trouble for?
Well, Joss Whedon got in trouble for a lot of that stuff.
Well,
but Joss Whedon, so Zack Snyder left the film. Joss Whedon was brought in to finish it and also kind of punch up the script because they looked at what Zack Snyder had made and went, wow, this is a
depressing movie.
Yeah, what a
bad, serious mess. Can Joss Whedon, the guy who made the first two Avengers movies, punch it up with some levity and some color and make it, you know, watchable? And he did the best he could with a bad situation. And Justice League in itself was
a mess.
It's a mess, but it's okay. It's not great. It's fine. But ever
giving it too much credit.
I'm trying to be as charitable as I can to this thing. It's not very good.
Oh, so Zach came back.
So what,
now that's this whole. I watched the trailer for it, and I'm just like, man, it's just.
Yeah. So what happened basically is as soon as that movie came out and didn't do Marvel Studios Avengers numbers, a lot of
that's true.
But a lot of fans online decided the reason that it didn't do well is not because the movie was bad, but it's because Joss Whedon came in and ruined Zack Snyder's magnum opus.
So and they have like two factions where like, no, we like this version, and the other faction is like,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, kind of.
But it's more like the two factions are, this movie was going to be bad one way or another, and one faction was, Joss Whedon ruined our childhood.
Give
Zack Snyder a chance to fix what he started.
There's a group of people out there that think Zack Snyder is like some kind of like, you know,
good movie maker.
Yeah. I have yet to see a Zack Snyder movie I'm like, oh man, that was great.
Watchmen's okay.
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The closest they ever got was Watchmen.
I was gonna say, because like, I, you know, I'm not the big geek here. I love listening and trying to learn all this stuff. I got two things here. I think Watchmen was awesome, just coming from a guy who doesn't dive into the comics a lot. I read Watchmen, then watched it. I'm like, I really enjoyed this. I haven't watched
Watchmen was really good. Watchmen was also a nearly one-to-one copy from the book.
Minus
the ending.
And the pirate parts.
So it could basically, it couldn't be anything but pretty good because there was almost no,
was
like,
it just a fan service
it was
at that point, just
basically it was
and,
yeah,
it was almost panel for panel
like Sin City
taken.
Like Sin City is like panel to panel.
I liked that one too. Now
yeah,
why, I know you guys, this is retreading ground for you guys,
hey, no it's
go
fine
for it, you're good.
So why is DC missing the mark? Why can't they make a good movie?
Well, we have discussed this a little bit. There are some theories. I think part of it, in my opinion, part of it is DC's parent company, Warner Brothers, has always been a little embarrassed of the source material of their products. So where
of all the products, what are they gauging
DC stuff in general?
Oh,
so
yeah,
like,
but you know, we can have Harry Potter and Terminator and all that stuff. We're embarrassed,
right? But
DC?
See, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like, I don't know if the Warner Brothers end of things look and go, oh man, there's a stigma, like the stigma around it being a comic book movie, something inherently for kids and the knee-jerk reaction to try to make it, oh no, this is a serious film for serious adults.
Though if you've read a DC comic since the 80s, it's not for children.
They think they have to fix it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need...
That's...
People already like it the way it is.
That's exactly what it is. Marvel Studios and Disney, by extension, understand that, no, this is what people want to see. They want to see basically things from their comic be translated, but not... turned it. I'm having a hard time describing it. Be translated onto the screen in a believable but not fully realistic way. Whereas Warner Brothers sees Batman as the end all be all when it comes to their flagship properties.
I mean, he kind of is. I mean, he is the movie. He is the character they have made movie after movie after movie with.
But the problem is, when you base all of your films in your canon off of the success of Batman has a very specific tone that does not
translate to other versions,
to other comic book characters. Superman really shouldn't be grim and gritty and like yelling and growling at people like he was a Man of Steel or Superman versus Batman. Superman is a character that more than anything is about, like, if Batman is the
darkness,
Superman is the light. He's like the hope in the darkness.
He's the beaking.
The movie's thinking that he shouldn't be gritty.
The movies make him gritty and angry. Yeah.
Basically, DC Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers took the success of the Dark Knight trilogy with Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale, because that made bangbuster bucks for them.
Yes.
And they're like, oh man, people love this version of things.
Oh.
So they tried to do that and the next set of projects was their DC Cinematic Universe after that.
And that's the other issue. Marvel kind of, for as much as they would be reticent to admit it, Marvel kind of like tripped into their cinematic universe. They didn't set out initially to create a big shared universe. They made Iron Man, which if it failed, it would have failed on its own and that would have been it. But then they made Hulk, which if it failed, it would have been on its own and it didn't really, you know, it kind of winked and nodded to a couple of things, but it wasn't like so intrinsic, like you wouldn't have, like where now, like we're going to talk about WandaVision, where you almost have to watch like three or four different things to understand where the characters are and three things.
What do you think?
We'll see.
I said, no, you don't. I haven't seen any of that stuff.
But DC tried to... They tried to jump into the deep end of the pool without kind of setting up that backbone of like independent films. Like, they should have done a Superman movie, a Wonder Woman movie, Aquaman. They should have tried to set up all the characters separately and then bring them together instead of, okay, second, third movie in our series, we're going to throw everyone all together because that's what the Avengers did and Marvel made a bunch of money.
So Man of Steel, there are nods in the background to other stuff. Like, there's like a Wayne Tech Tower and stuff like that,
right.
In which were nods. But then you have Batman versus Superman, which was basically the start of their Justice League movie, because that drops three characters right there.
Not just three, because they so heavily features Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, introduces Lex
Luthor. Wonder Woman till the end.
Wonder Woman, but she's in there.
Yeah.
They introduce Flash as a, like, that's the movie where Bruce Wayne is going through looking at all the Lex Luthor stuff. It wasn't a background thing. There's an entire scene dedicated to him like looking up, oh, this guy can run really fast. Oh. That's your Flash.
Yeah, you sit over Batman's shoulder while he uses the computer for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. That's the other thing with a lot of the Zack Snyder versions of these DC comic superhero movies. They're boring as sin. Very slow. They're like serious to the level of melodrama and almost farce.
Oh.
And
they're all really long.
They're long and they're desaturated. Like, everything is...
It's a muted tone.
It's practically sepia tone or black and white almost. It is
like
so muted.
Like, that works for Batman, but Superman is supposed to be bright blue and red and everything. It's a real toned down blue. And the same thing with Wonder Woman's costume. It's real toned down.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I feel like we're kind of losing sight on this. The point is, it's cool. This is a really good conversation we're having. But so you asked, you know, what's the deal with the Zack Snyder cut?
Yes.
So basically, what the fans had assumed was Zack Snyder had filmed a bunch of... The rumor was he had filmed a bunch of scenes that got omitted from the theatrical cut of the film.
Final cut of.
You know, in lieu of having like a brighter, you know, brighter scenes, more comedic stuff, changing things around a little bit to appease the Warner Brothers stockholders. So Warner Brothers finally relented and said, okay, you know what? We are going to Zack Snyder. He's going to come in. He's going to do his vision. He's going to do, you know, whatever he wants to do. And it has had a lot of, I don't want to say problems, but it became very apparent that he didn't have any extra film scenes filmed. So they shot a bunch of new ones. He spent a year and a half filming
new
stuff.
Is that why Jared Leto's in it?
Yep. Too?
That's okay. why they
brought him.
Jared Leto back into it. At one point, it was supposed to be a 4 or 5 part miniseries with hour long episodes.
I think that would have been better.
And then was rolled back into 1 4-hour long film.
All right. So on that note, like, I don't know, like Quentin Tarantino's original vision for Kill Bill was one long movie with an intermission, right?
Sure.
I could sit through that.
But oh, sure.
For 4 hours of a superhero movie where even the biggest fans of superheroes are saying, no, I don't think you can get a guy who doesn't know much about it to go and sit and be like, I'm going to check out this Justice League movie.
Well, that's the thing. I will probably watch it out of morbid curiosity. I kind of have to know.
So you can punish yourself.
And basically, yeah.
Sam, I'm going to sit here and watch this.
Yeah. But no, I've always said, in order to adequately critique something, you have to experience it.
But unfortunately, it's going to give the metric of views
because
we're going to hate watching.
That's kind of, yeah, hate watching and love watching at the end of the day still
are the
gives
same
you a,
numbers.
Are the same number to the corporations. So, yeah.
I'm going to say now, I am not going to watch it. There is no
Boom.
Way.
Take that, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought they were starting to turn it around with the Shazam movie with Zachary Levi. Do you remember that?
That's the one I wanted to watch.
That one,
the preview.
And
because
Aquaman.
That one and Aquaman. Aquaman was also very, very good and kind of lighthearted at times, all while also having some, you know, melodramatic kind of moments.
Also, it's very convoluted because they took like 4 Aquaman storylines
and
from
threw
the
them together
and threw them into one movie.
But Shazam, you know, it's bright, it's fun, it has comedy, it has action. It's probably the closest to the Marvel movie formula, and by far it is the most, in my opinion, the most enjoyable of those
easiest
films
to watch.
Yeah, that and Wonder Woman. The first Wonder Woman. The second one had its issues, but the first one
heard a lot about.
Second one's still okay.
No, it's still fine. Yeah, it's fine, but it's not to the level of the first one.
No,
the first
not
one
at
is
all.
Much better.
Yeah,
but
let me get your opinion on something else as well. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about Disney Plus is their whole deal is all right. We're gonna start, you know, Mulan and like Raya and the
Last Dragon.
They're like, oh, why don't you pay us a little bit more on Disney Plus? We'll see how that does. And a lot of people are like, don't give them that money. Don't kill the movies.
Yeah.
That's I kind of fell in that camp too, just by like reading a couple things and learning about it. I'm on that. And the reason I kind of want to bring that up because we thought it like for my mother and my sister's birthday, my wife and I are like, you know what? Why don't we get the whole family? Let's go to the movies. You can rent out a movie for $100. We rented out in Sandusky, the Cinemark, and we could pick Clue, and we're like, let's all go watch Clue for $100.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
I mean, there was 12 of us with my nieces and nephew. So it was great. But for $50 more, you could do a current one. So I asked my sister, I'm like, do you think the kids would enjoy Raya and the Last Dragon more? It's only $50 more. We're happy to do it. She's like, absolutely not. We're watching Clue. But it just made me think of like, I'm like, yeah, I mean, but it still would have been one that I'd rather see in the theater with the kids. And same point, like we got to see Tenet in the theater.
Sure.
I don't want to watch that one at home. That was just beautiful.
Sure. Like, I don't think theaters are going anywhere. I think large theater chains are going to have to rethink their model, or at least some of them are going to disappear. But I think we're going to see in the next couple of years the rise of the independent theater, like your Studio 35s down in Columbus or your Gateway theaters.
How do they get licensing to be able to do any of this though?
It's just like independent radio or something like that. You just get in touch with the specific distributors,
pay your fee or whatever.
Yeah, and you just kind of go that route. It's going to be interesting to see. I hope when the pandemic kind of slows down a little further, I hope we continue to see some home release as well as theatrical release. Again, yeah. There are certain movies that, you know, you're going to want to see in theaters. Jordan and I, we got tickets for Easter. We got each other tickets to go see Kong versus Godzilla at Studio 35 as nice. A beer tasting. There, I feel comfortable going there because they're doing a really good job with the social distancing.
When
and
you walk
like
into
that.
A place and you could just tell, it's like, you know what, I don't feel bad being here. This feels safe.
Yeah, well, their whole thing is everything is pre-ordered tickets. There's no walk-ups. They whenever you buy your tickets, they block three seats in between each party on either side, so that's it. And they enforce a very strict out of your seat mask on, no exceptions rule. I feel really comfortable going to a place like that. So and there are movies that I will see still I will go to see in theaters. Absolutely. Because of the atmosphere. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm glad I saw Wonder Woman 84 at home and not in theater. I would have not been a happy camper if I had spent $15, you know, bare minimum.
And risk exposure.
And risk exposure just to see Wonder Woman 84, which is a good movie, but not quite to that level. The same with anything, you know, Rey and the Last Dragon, I've been hearing really, really good things about. But the Disney Plus model of charging an extra $30.
Their premium access.
For not even owning a copy of it. Yeah. A copy that disappears after 30 days, right? Something like that.
Basically, when you have the premium access, it's a one-time use for one movie. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like these movies come out this month. You pay
no.
$30.
It's unreal.
Oh, snip, snap. That's crazy.
It's unreal. Yeah.
Basically, you get to watch it early because, like what they did with Mulan, premium access members got to watch it a month or two early before the rest of the subscriber base got to watch it.
You know, I love movies. I don't need to see a movie a month and a half in advance just for bragging rights.
Exactly.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
Same with, and you know, they're. It's a weird bad model. The HBO Max model is so much nicer because you get it day and date with theatrical and it's on there for a month.
Yeah.
And then it disappears, which is fine.
Whatever.
But you're not paying extra for it.
No. But here's the thing is they're picking and choosing what they're doing it with. They did it with Mulan. They didn't do it with the new Pixar movie Souls, but they did it with Rey and the Last Dragon.
And they're probably going to do it with Black Widow. More than likely when they eventually decide to release that
movie. That movie has been done for 2 years.
Well, the thing is, they can push that one back as long as they want because it has no
bearing on the rest
of
the cinematic
universe. Yeah, unlike the other Marvel films in the series, Black Widow, because it kind of goes back and tells us like a side story like within the timeline, it doesn't have any bearing on any future films. Like WandaVision is going to tie directly into the next Doctor Strange movie. They have to. So just in production and release wise, they had to put WandaVision out before they can put out Doctor Strange, or there's going to be a whole section of Doctor Strange that's not going to make any sense. Black Widow doesn't have that because it takes place about five or six movies back in the timeline in the release order.
So
they're kind of rolling it back. So
basically,
they can release it at any time and it's not going to, people aren't going to lose out on it.
It was like, this is what Black Widow was doing during this time frame.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you go back and read the Silmarillion, like this is what Gandalf was doing when he wasn't hanging out with these people.
But that's the stuff that I prefer more. I like seeing like the side stuff, like Crimes of Grindelwald we just watched. I hadn't seen that, but I like the first Fantastic Beasts so much because I like the idea of that world and other things happening. I don't really care that much about the Harry Potter part, but I really liked
the universe itself.
Yes, it's an interesting universe. Yes. Yeah.
See, that's why I'm excited about the new Avatar stuff from Nickelodeon, because it's like, I love that universe. I want more stories in that universe.
Mm. I immediately went to Blue Cats when you said that.
Of course you did.
Well, it's okay. There's going to be 7 more of those films as well. So, yeah.
Well, one thing I want to say about like the movies and going to the movie theaters, the last thing is, I am more inclined to go back and watch those Fathom events that they did.
I went and saw
Blade Runner in the theater, and we made like friends, because like the original theatric like ending of that movie, I don't remember ever. I think I've only ever known the director's cut. So like we're all talking about it with strangers on the way out. Like
all that weird the director's cut ending that was taken from Legend with the unicorn.
yeah.
I'm
looking at like Cinemarks and all those other theaters there, because every month they update. They're like, hey, for the next 30 days, we're going to have these classic movies if you want to rent out. And I'm like, Clue, we were like, heck yeah, like Spaceballs was on there. We're like, I'd like to do, I can't take my kids to that, but
well,
I mean, you'd be surprised. Like, that one's actually not bad.
I can't have my kids walk it saying a-hole like the whole.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
he's my cousin, sir.
Well,
how many a-holes do we have on this ship?
I'm surrounded.
But no, like you were talking about, like a few years ago, Gateway had all three of the Clint Eastwood
the Good. For a few dollars more, and
yes.
The
yeah. In
fistful
the
fistful of dollars,
fistful yeah. of dollars, yeah,
yeah, and the Good, Bad, and the Ugly in the, was it 30mm or whatever?
That's yeah,
so awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
I'd pay money to do that.
Oh,
why
yeah, I loved it.
Dive
I
into that.
Loved it. It was great. It was amazing. There was another time the Gateway had like the director's cut of Akira or something like that.
We went to that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was great a version of the film I hadn't seen.
I keep trying to get Samantha to watch Akira, but I can't. Can't get her to do it.
I mean, it's not the world's most fun anime.
Theaters, yeah, yeah, well, yeah.
It's a good movie.
That's, it is a good movie.
Yeah, it's culturally relevant and it's referenced in so many different things. But theaters aren't going to go away.
No.
Yeah.
They're going to have to change their model. And like I said, I think we're going to see the rise of independently owned theaters. But
give us more classic movies in the theater. I want to see Commando in the movie theater, please.
Oh, that would be great. I tell you what, I saw you talking about those Fathom events. Well, one, they do a lot of the riff tracks.
Yeah.
Stuff. Those are great.
I miss those.
Oh, me too. Me too. And the last one of the last ones I had seen went with my folks. We went to see Young Frankenstein.
Oh,
in
man.
Theater. And it had like a, I think like a 15-20 minute intro,
yes.
with Mel Brooks talking about the filming of it and kind of some background stuff. And it was phenomenal. It was amazing.
That dude's still killing it too. Did
oh,
you see,
it's great.
Did
yeah.
you see his like his pandemic thing that
yes,
he did with
a couple
his
of
son?
Videos with his son? Yeah.
Where he's just like waving at the window. He's like, you can go away now. He's like, yeah. He's waving at the window.
No, it was really
so
good. It was
funny.
Really good. Yeah.
Who was that one filmmaker guy who would, that Gateway used to do this. They showed movies and he would talk kind of briefly before the movie.
You mean Dr. Bob?
No, not Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob. Oh,
he wasn't
no.
physically there. Like, they showed a preview for it when we went and saw Akira and he was doing Ninja Turtles or something. Oh.
Oh, I can't
Night
think.
Night Owl.
Oh, Fritz. Fritz the Night Owl. Yeah. That was a 35. And
it, was it 35?
It was 35, okay. Yeah. And those were great as well. Yeah. Yeah, he still does those every now and then. I mean, not so much. He's mostly retired, but he still does those from
there for a second. I thought you were going to say he's mostly dead.
Well.
But he's only half dead.
Yeah.
You guys talk anime. I'd love to. You guys know anime. I'd kind of like to know your thoughts.
Did well,
you guys,
the two of us do.
Okay,
anyway.
I'm not a.
Do you guys? Did you guys watch Blade of the Immortal on? It was on Prime, but
no.
it is awesome. It's basically a live action anime, and it was done so beautifully. It's called Blade of the Immortal. There's a guy who he gets wrongly convicted of something, and he kills somebody. But it's shot like an anime, but the guy can't die. He's got bloodworms and he can't die. Like everything that gets cut off, like will sew itself back on. But there's certain fight scenes where like somebody's standing on a stump and their hair is blowing in the wind and then they just turn and then it's just like you see the wind whipping up around him as he's running at the guy and pulls his sword out and they jump at each other.
Also
it was
very
shot
like
beautifully.
Yeah.
And I mean
there's a lot of Japanese movies like that.
Okay. I don't watch a ton of them, but Blade of the Immortal was pretty lit. I love it.
Like I have all the Rurouni Kenshin live action movies.
They and have the, live action movies of that?
Three of them.
I liked that anime when I was a kid.
Yeah, it used to be one of my favorites, and then I learned about, you know, the creator of it, and I'm like, nope, not anymore.
Whoa. Time out, what happened?
Well, you know what? Hey, we'll talk about that during the break.
Yep,
I apologize.
And when we come back, we'll actually, we're going to play some music, then we're going to come back and talk about WandaVision, so stick
with
us.
This is your spoiler warning.
We're back. That was a medley of all of the intros and songs used within the Disney Plus series WandaVision, if you couldn't have guessed that from the fact that they said it like 10 times in a row in like a 7-minute stretch.
I get it.
But yeah, we're back. We are going to take some time and talk about WandaVision. It just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. And
fun fact, the songs were done by the couple of the soundtrack to Frozen.
Oh, really?
And also Book of Mormon.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that explains why the songs were so good and catchy, especially that Agatha All Along song.
Yeah, that's the best one.
That is. Oh, yeah.
That went to number one on iTunes the day after.
Oh, I bet. All right. Well, because we have to, I now have to play the Check It Out, because it's technically, it's what we're checking out, right?
Yeah.
Check it out! There we go. I looked for a clip from WandaVision, but there was no like one standout like thing.
Mm. Oh, you couldn't have got an Agatha.
Oh,
laugh.
I guess I could have gotten Agatha saying, "And I killed the dog too." Yeah. In hindsight, I should have gotten that. But so we are going to talk spoilers about WandaVision, but I think let's do some like kind of light. I'm trying to structure this thing a little bit as we go through. Let's talk about some light stuff. Let's, for the first couple of minutes, steer clear of spoilers. Just talk about general opinions of the series as a whole, how we thought it did. And then we'll kind of start digging deep into like episode by episode and, you know, just kind of go from there. Does that sound good, guys?
That sounds fine.
Okay, yeah, cool. Well, BJ, you're the guest, so yes, we'll go ahead and ask you first. Putting you on the spot here. What were your opinions on WandaVision?
Okay, so for a guy who knows nothing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the only ones that I have seen are Deadpool and both Deadpool movies, the original Iron Man, the first one. That's pretty much all. And I watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was kind of, Tim, the other guy on the podcast, he's the one who's like, yeah, watch this one. It's probably one of the best. And I saw it. And he's like, "Oh, what'd you think?" And
I mean,
like,
still is.
Yeah, that's what he said. And I'm like, it's all right. He's like, "You don't have to watch it." I think.
Right. We've talked off mic before. You don't typically gravitate towards the superhero style of story and that kind of. It doesn't really quite click with you like it does with other folks.
No, it doesn't. But I can still recognize a good show or movie when I see it. Like somebody who doesn't have the back knowledge of this. Going into I watched the first couple episodes of WandaVision when they came out. I saw the first one. I'm like, that's weird. But I love that style of television. I'm like, they did that really well. I liked how they did that. And then when I loved the parts where it just got super uneasy, like what's going on?
Yes. Yeah,
the brief serious part.
Yeah. Where like
the charade kind of breaks a little bit.
Yeah. That was kind of my favorite part. I'm like, because each episode you're like, when's it going to get weird? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of waiting for that. And I had no idea who she was. I didn't know she was anybody. I'm just like, oh, she must be something from a superhero thing. And I didn't know Vision was a thing. And I'm like, oh, he must be a superhero. So from somebody who doesn't know any of that stuff, I liked it as a show. I'm like, this is cool. I like how weird and uneasy it's. My original thoughts were she must be like in a coma or something. And this is her thought.
That's actually, you know, going
that was into, a theory. That was a theory.
That was a legit theory from online. Yeah, there were a couple of different things kind of floating around. I guess we kind of had the benefit of knowing kind of what the social material, because this is very loosely, like most of the Marvel cinematic stuff, they're loosely based on
an existing comic.
Existing comics or existing
ideas.
There's
a WandaVision comic?
Sort of. It was called Wanda and Vision?
Scarlet Witch and the Vision.
Vision
and Scarlet Witch. Yeah. And it was... it's never translated one-to-one from the comic to the screen, and I think that's what really is to the show and the movie's benefit.
They pick the good stuff.
And it's not just with WandaVision. I mean, Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 are all based on variations of stories told in the comics. Avengers Endgame and Infinity War are based on concepts and variations of previously established storylines.
There was a Civil War comic series.
It didn't play out like it did in the movie, but
but also the X-Men and stuff were in the comic and whatnot, and we hadn't had that yet.
Right. But what I'm saying is
I saw like the first couple X-Men movies too.
Yeah, they're technically not part of the MCU, but yeah, you're there.
They aren't?
Yeah.
No. They're
not.
Marvel though, right?
They are now. So
were they not originally?
They were Marvel properties, but they weren't part of the greater Marvel or the greater Disney MCU.
So what was the arcade game? Because that was the thing I knew the best.
The arcade game was great. Well, that is great. That's classic.
X-Men, Welcome to Die. I think I did that last week.
I think
too.
You did. Yeah, you did. Yeah. But okay, so I guess any Marvel movie made prior to Iron Man,
the first Iron Man,
is not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In the late 80s, early 90s, Marvel was on the verge of bankruptcy, and in order to keep themselves afloat, they sold the movie rights, the film and television rights, to other companies,
right.
Sony, Fox, that sort of Constantine Films. They have Fantastic Four, that sort of thing. So that's how they were able to make their own separate movies that don't tie in with the Marvel Studios films. Yeah. That's why Wolverine didn't show up in
Fox has
all that too.
Stuff.
I love that movie. That was a good one.
Fox had the rights to the X-Men for the longest time before Disney bought Fox.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And Sony still holds the rights to Spider-Man, but they have an agreement with Disney to allow Spider-Man to appear in the MCU.
For now.
For now.
It's, so anyway.
So those most recent Spider-Man movies aren't...
They are co-produced
by Sony and...
Disney.
And after this final Spider-Man movie, the licensing agreement between Sony and Disney will end. And technically, even though Spider-Man is a Marvel character, Sony will have the sole production rights for the films.
You make it sound so evil.
It is. It kind of is. Well, especially because Sony does kind of bad things with the Spider-Man franchise.
They have since before Marvel, like, hey, yeah. Disney's like, hey,
ready? Yeah, right.
Won't you come down here and fight like a man? Won't you come up here and fight like a spider? Anyway.
You've got me for 3 minutes of playtime.
Dude, rip Randy Savage.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
He's the best part of that whole movie.
Oh, he is.
So anyway, WandaVision. So you enjoyed it just as an outsider kind of looking in. We'll just kind of talk about the other, you know, the other guys. Yeah. Josh, what'd you think? Just kind of general ideas?
I thought it was... I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It kind of went the way ish that I thought it would, because as it went on, you know, it kind of became more and more like your stock standard Marvel movie.
Yes, and I think that might actually have been one of the few, I don't want to call it negatives, but the last episode was just a Marvel movie, and as weird and out there as the first handful of episodes were, I was kind of, I guess I understand that we couldn't ride that wave all the way through to the end, that at the end, very end, end of the day, it is set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it has to always end up in a big CGI monstrosity fight.
Yeah.
Well, which was good, and her costume at the end was freaking crazy. Yeah,
it was great. It was really good.
It's a very good look.
But, I would be lying if I had said that I wasn't at least a little tiny bit sad that it ended
the way it did
as a Marvel movie and not as something completely weird like those first couple episodes were.
I felt like it felt more earned than usual.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because like we spent more time developing the characters and motivations and stuff to when we got to the CGI fight, it felt cooler.
Yeah,
because
I thought it looked great.
Yeah,
I thought it looked great. It looked great. But yeah, I mean, I guess BJ, because you haven't watched a lot of these Marvel movies, they all kind of end this way. They all kind of end with a big CGI fight.
That third act of every movie is almost the exact same, no matter what.
Isn't that why we love superheroes, though?
Well, yes. Yes.
Sure.
Purple, it's
purple every time.
Yeah.
But after you've seen it, you know, 20 times, it does get a little tiresome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there are a lot of those movies.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I love cake. If I had to eat 20 cakes in a row, the 21st cake, it's still going to taste good, but...
Then you're going to have diabetes.
Exactly.
Well, to my point, this time it was like you had 5 meals of steak and then had cake at the end.
Well, that's... Yeah.
That's a good analogy. I like that.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we're going to start talking about some specifics on things. So, did any of you guys watch the Marvel Assembled? It was like an hour long special that went along with this that they released after the last episode. It was a kind of behind the scenes.
Was it kind of like the Mandalorian thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And it kind of went almost episode by episode.
Oh, okay.
And kind of showed, okay, what did they do? How did they, you know?
Did this one have different directors for episodes?
No, this one had the same director all the way through, but it explained, okay, well, the first 3 or 4 episodes were filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Like,
and
for real?
Say what?
For real, yes. Yeah. They wanted to make it as...
TV show-y?
Well, they wanted to make it as...
Authentic
to the time period as possible.
That's
They built in the studio, like, they didn't have, like, risers or comfortable seats. They were wooden, collapsible chairs with pads and, like, the metal bar in front of them, just like they would in a 19... Like, filming the Dick Van Dyke show.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they, you know, up through... I think it was up through the... 80s episode. I think that episode 4 or 5.
So when the kids became
yes.
Okay.
When the pre-Malcolm.
The one before the Malcolm in the Middle one. That's when they stopped filming in front of a live studio audience.
I was surprised they went with Malcolm.
That was,
and it's a deserved reference because that's a great show.
I really thought they were going. I thought they were going to go Roseanne. But they instead went Malcolm in the Middle, and that was great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But it was fascinating to hear. And like the effects guys that they got for the first couple episodes, with the exception of a couple of things like Vision reaching into his boss's throat to pull out
everything was
practical. In fact, when they hired the guy for, it was a guy that they hired for pyrotechnics for later episodes. And they asked, okay, do you know, I mean, we're doing some practical effects. Do you know anything about this? And the guy said, when I came into the industry, I was trained by guys who worked on Bewitched.
That's exactly what they wanted.
First thing I did was doing wire work and practical effects. We can do this no problem. So like those first couple episodes, everything is practical.
That's so awesome.
That's why it looks like Bewitched.
Yes, Bewitched. Yeah. And did I also mention on the show, I Dream a Genie, the first episode, so it was based heavily on the Dick Van Dyke show.
Yeah.
And apparently they actually had an interview. They took Dick Van Dyke out to lunch and kind of explained
the premise
of the show and what they were doing. And he gave them pointers on
what happened back in
how to write it, how everything was set up, the two camera system, just
good on that.
Everything they really put their homework in on this. So, and you know, they telegraphed some things within the series for the because it's ultimately kind of a mystery up until the point where it's no longer a mystery. But they did a really good job telegraphing certain things, but kind of keeping it the watcher mostly in the dark. Up until that fourth episode.
Oh, yeah. They throw, like, it was like red herring after red herring after red herring in that show.
Yeah, and I think they, when they finally kind of roll things back and say, okay, this is what is actually going on at episode four, that was the perfect time to do it. I think if they kept the viewer not knowing what's going on much further, it would have got
boring and frustrating.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it was all done really well. Even if kind of looking back at each episode, I still like my two favorite episodes. I mean, don't have to do with like the big fighting or any of the.
No,
fighting,
sure. Yeah.
Is that the second episode is like still like my absolute favorite when they're doing the magic show and stuff.
The magic show is great.
My absolute favorite.
It's like the zoom in on Vision's chest with the gum in his gears and stuff. And that's fantastic.
And it's animated like an old 60s black and white sitcom.
And that opening, the Bewitched opening.
Oh, that was so good.
They did a good job.
I also liked in like the first two episodes when Vision went to change his face, instead of having like, you know, the computer rendered like what he does later in the series, the whole like sparkle effect where he turns his head and he's back and he looks different.
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing. For the episodes where they filmed in black and white, they actually had to paint him blue.
Yeah.
Because the red wouldn't read on the black and white cameras. And that's kind of fascinating. So
Blue Man Group Vision.
Oh, I'm a Wanda, I'm afraid I blew myself early. But let's talk about some of the later episodes. Some of the let's talk about some of the side characters. The introduction of Monica Rambeau and her backdoor kind of origin story for her becoming a superhero was fascinating.
The unsung hero.
Monica is the
sword agent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she's in the regular universe.
She was in Captain Marvel as a child.
Oh.
Because Captain Marvel takes place during the 80s.
90s.
Or 90s, yeah.
Okay, so the episode four, when they introduce her and she's in the hospital, she poofs back in.
What was that nonsense about that? I didn't
understand
any of that.
That's from Avengers Endgame and Infinity War.
Okay, so in Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, the bad guy Thanos gets these all powerful stones.
The things, and he snaps,
and
his
finger,
blow.
And they disappear.
Why do they come back?
Because at the end of Endgame spoilers, Tony Stark,
the Hulk,
snaps his finger.
They get the stones.
Snaps his finger, and it brings everyone back.
Yeah, his
snap.
It's basically you get these
magic wish glove.
You get these magic six stones. When they bring them all together, you can make a wish. Thanos made a wish to,
so it's
to
the
get
Dragon
rid of
Balls.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah.
Without summoning a dragon.
Yeah. So Thanos's whole deal was the universe is overpopulated. Planets are
dying.
I want to wish half of the universe away. That was his deal.
Dude, so, I'm Team Thanos. The overpopulation is a thing, people.
But when Hulk snapped everyone back, they were brought back, but it's been 5 years they disappeared.
But not for the people who disappeared. Like, well, they don't realize they were gone.
Well, why didn't Vision come back?
Because he wasn't spoofed.
He wasn't snapped.
He was destroyed.
His head. Where he pulled his thing.
Yeah, he was destroyed.
Because that thing in his head, that spot in his head,
right, that's one of the stones. Yeah,
right.
You talk about it. See, that's the one thing about the show that I liked, but I have three kids under 10, and when they wanted to start watching it, and those parts were not great for them.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, Dead Vision is kind of creepy.
He's super creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Dead Vision and... Quicksilver shot up with bullets.
Yeah, I love that.
Even though he's not the same Quicksilver.
Yeah,
why did they? I mean, I thought they explained it well, but why did he?
That was
not
an in joke. Okay, so that was entirely an in joke on multiple levels. It was referencing bringing in a character to a show that is faltering.
Seven.
You know, to mix up the thing
from Married with Children.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Cousin Oliver.
Yeah. So it referenced that. It referenced Avengers Age of Ultron, which had...
which is the first appearance of Wanda.
Wanda and her twin brother, Pietro.
Or just brother. I don't think...
Brother. No, it's twin.
Are they twins?
Yeah, they say twin.
Okay. Twins. Yeah. And...
you were a twin, Wanda.
So in the X-Men movies, which is not part of the
Fox X-Men movies.
Not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay. There is a different version of Quicksilver.
Right.
The actor
played by Evan Peters.
That was played by him?
Yeah. So the actor that they brought in for this is not the same actor that they had in Age of Ultron. So it was referencing a show firing an actor and bringing in a different actor to replace the part. So
that's
it
why
was
they,
like
that's why
on
they,
three different levels.
That's why they make the line, oh, she recast Pietro.
Yeah.
And then that threw the internet in a big hizzy because like, oh, does this mean we're getting the X-Men?
And no, it doesn't.
No, that was actually what
they're
was his name? Like Randy Boner.
Ralph Boner.
Yeah, Ralph Boner.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Boner. He was like one of my favorite characters too. That Malcolm in the Middle episode is my other favorite episode.
Oh, that was fantastic.
And just him talking to the camera and him just being like a D-bag the whole time is my favorite thing. I'm I just it lit me up.
A jerk that was also super like hyper aware of what is actually going on.
Holy crap! What he's like? What you think your dead husband's gonna die again? Like,
yeah, that
I
was
lost
good.
My mind.
That
when
was
he said
that was good. That was good.
Yeah, but that also made people think that he was the reason everything was the way it was.
Because
then people were wondering if it was another comic character who's essentially the devil.
Okay.
Because Mephisto is.
But he's not involved at all.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
The original comic series, Agatha Harkness wasn't the villain. It was the Marvel Comics interpretation of the devil.
Oh, okay.
That was manipulating everything. I actually kind of like it better this way. It kind of made it, not to say more grounded, but, you know, whenever you bring like giant galactic or supernatural things into a story, it kind of loses some of that sparkle.
They're never going to bring the biblical Satan or like the concept of a biblical hell into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It doesn't work.
I don't know, because they kind of did that in the first Doctor Strange with Dormammu.
But that's a different dimension. That's the dark dimension. That's not hell.
But also, the next Doctor Strange movie is called The Multiverse of Madness.
That doesn't have anything to do with hell, though.
It doesn't.
It might. We don't know.
If anything, that's how they're going to bring X-Men into it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so...
Oh, like the reveals. I wanted to talk to you guys about all the reveals where, like, when Quicksilver comes in at the end of that episode, and they're like, oh, it's her brother and stuff, and I'm like... Hannah and I are just looking at each other. It must be her brother. So, and that the really good one at the end where it's like, oh, I'm Agatha, and it does the whole song. I'm like, that song was funny. I'm like, she must be someone important. That's all I can think.
Yes.
Ish. I mean, she's until now, she was a really like kind of almost forgotten about character. They haven't used her a lot in modern comics.
Yeah, she hadn't appeared in any
she
of the
killed
other.
It, though.
Yeah, she hadn't appeared in any of the other movies at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But also, they hadn't really brought in magic.
Outside of Doctor Strange.
Okay. Well, the other one that I thought was just incredibly dumb was there was this whole thing like Hannah told me, she's like, oh, we gotta watch after, there's supposed to be a stinger on this one. And it's literally the Monica standing there, and then Quicksilver shows up. I'm like, you could have just had that at the end of the episode. That's not a stinger. A stinger reveals something.
Snooper's going to snoop.
Yeah, they could. You're right. They could have just put that.
They could have put that in there.
That, why would they advertise that as a stinger if it's it doesn't reveal anything?
That's the Marvel. That's the Marvel Studios kind of thing, because it almost
ever
gets
since
to
the first
point
Iron Man.
They kind of it's
oh, was
ingrained.
There a stinger in the first Iron Man? I never
oh yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even in the context of the actual Marvel movie stingers. That was bad.
Yeah,
that wasn't a good.
But it's
usually
like
they
expected,
use it to,
kind of.
Yeah, usually they use it to dangle something.
The last episode of the series.
I have no idea what was going on with that. I'm like, this.
Yeah,
is
that's
dumb.
More in line.
That's
with
more
what
in line.
They usually.
Okay,
do.
You know what? We'll talk about those, because that way maybe we can put a little more context. So there's two stingers at the end of the last episode, right?
There's a mid-credit one, and then there's the end one.
All I remember is Monica goes with that lady, and she's an alien.
Yes. Okay.
Is that the end, or is
no,
that the
larger? There's one more after that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's one after that.
Yeah, there's one after that. Okay, so we'll take them one at a time. Okay, so Monica was originally introduced as a kid in the Captain America movie. Or Captain Marvel movie.
Okay.
Because
who
the
is Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel is Brie Larson.
Oh,
she's an intergalactic super being,
Punch
basically.
Lady.
That movie looked really stupid.
She flies.
It's actually pretty good.
It's really good. Okay. It's set in the 90s, and the CGI work that they used to de-age Sam Jackson, because Sam Jackson is a major character in that movie.
Oh, okay.
They de-age him by like 20 years, and it's flawless.
Oh, it's amazing.
He looks like he did in Coming to America. That his bit part in Coming. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really well done.
It's really good.
Anyway, that movie deals a lot with Brie Larson being a lady from Earth who can fly around and punch people really hard and shoot lasers. Cool. And it's her kind of finding her allegiance between two warring alien factions. I'm simplifying this a lot. The green-skinned ones are initially thought of as the bad guys. They turn out to actually be the sympathetic side of things. You end up sympathizing with them.
Yes.
The
but they're also shapeshifters.
They're shapeshifters. That's their big thing. The aliens that can...
They can look like anyone.
Look like anyone.
But yeah, the Skrulls were big in the comics because they can look like anyone.
Yeah.
They're called the Skrulls.
The Skrulls.
Yes. Skrulls.
Yes.
Like Krull?
Like Krull with an S.
S-K-U-R-L-L. Like skull with an R in it.
Does the glaive?
No. That'd be great if they had the glaive.
That's as deep geek as I can get.
Oh, yeah.
They should give Captain Marvel the glaive.
That would be great. She'd
be a good joke.
Yeah.
Or she could have at least picked up a Krull movie when she fell in the Blockbuster.
That would be good.
There's a Blockbuster in Captain Marvel.
Because it's set in the 90s.
Yeah, the more I think about Captain Marvel, the more I'm like, that's one of the better ones.
Yeah, it's a good one. I would actually recommend it. It's pretty good.
Disney Plus actually has the Marvel chronological order.
You could watch them in order, right?
Yeah, and it starts with Captain America, and then it goes to Captain Marvel. Like, it sets in the actual timeline.
No, I wouldn't watch it that way.
I mean,
you can. That's a perfectly valid option, but I would watch it in release order.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so
if I was gonna watch all of them, I wouldn't.
In Captain Marvel, Monica's mom was in the Air Force with Captain Marvel,
with Brie Larson's character,
and she is a major character in that movie. Monica was 10 years old.
Because they reference her mom a lot. In the thing, and why didn't she come back?
Because
she died of cancer.
So
that's different.
Monica, when Thanos snapped his fingers and everyone disappeared, Monica disappeared. Her mom didn't. So it had been 5 years,
and
in
her
that
mom
five years, her mom died of cancer. When Monica came back, it felt like she had been gone for a second. Didn't realize that she had been gone for 5 years. That's why she.
Oh, that's why they were all so confused.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When everyone snapped back to the exact place they were when the snap happened.
It's been 5 years.
They kind of show it in Spider-Man Far From Home. In Spider-Man Far From Home, there's a scene where they show
it's played for jokes,
like a high school basketball game, and then all of a sudden a bunch of people just appear in the middle of the court.
A marching band appears in the middle of the court because. The band was snapped away
at that point
in the middle of like a band concert. And then all of a sudden, 5 years later, like the joke is there's a basketball team running down the court and all of a sudden they tackle a tuba player, basically.
That's hilarious.
It's handled so much better in WandaVision.
The
chaos in WandaVision is so much more.
It was chaos because I had no idea what was going on.
Like people like showing up in houses that aren't their houses anymore.
Actually, I don't want to say it's better. It was just interesting to see it. from a more grounded perspective.
Yes. Anyway,
so what was the concept behind the snapping? Is it half the people in the world? So
half,
so
like, the people in the universe.
Cool. So like half of us wouldn't be here.
Right. Yes. But it's a random selection.
That's pretty cool. See, that's, I'm in. If I have to go, I have to go. I understand. I just take it.
And it wasn't just people too, because there's a reference in the MCU about you can't hear animals, but then when the snap happens, you can hear animals again.
Because all sentient living beings in the universe, half of them, just random selection, were just wiped from existence.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm Team Thanos. I think this sounds like a great idea. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying that I should stay and you should go. No, I get it. You can get rid of me. Yeah. I got it.
But anyway, the getting back to that mid-credit scene, basically it's setting up the next...
Was she a Skrull?
Yeah, she was a Skrull.
The Green Lady was a Skrull.
Makes way more sense now. Working with Nick Fury.
She was referencing Sam Jackson's character. He's up on a space station, right, in current Marvel Cinematic Universe times, working with the Skrulls.
Is he America's most national treasure? He has to be, right?
Getting there. Oh, yeah.
Definitely up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Him and Tom Hanks and, I mean...
But they're going to space, is that going to be another show or something? Another show or another a movie, depending. Right now, it's looking like there's going to be a show called Secret Invasion. That is about a secret sect of... Skrulls that are bad guys that are infiltrating Earth, and it's Sam Jackson, because they can shapeshift, and it's Sam Jackson and its team of
Skrulls
so and heroes and stuff.
Only does he have to put on special glasses to see them?
Yes. It's They Live, the Marvel show.
Put on the glasses, Nick. I'm here to fight
Roddy Piper for a solid 8 minutes to put.
Oh, that would be great.
On.
Just one whole episode. Just Sam Jackson and Roddy Piper.
I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
That would be great. But the other one, the one that you missed, this one actually confused my folks, because my folks have stayed up pretty well on all the Marvel movies, but they had no interest in Doctor Strange. No interest. Shame. It's the only one they didn't watch.
That's the only one we wanted to go back and watch, because we love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, it's a good one. Good, yeah. Okay. But they had no interest in it. They were like, you know, whatever. We don't.
It's definitely one of my
magic
favorites.
Stuff. You know what? Okay. Iron Man, great. Magic stuff, not their bag.
It's visually the most impressive movie.
Basically, the post credit is Wanda is in a cabin out in the middle of the wilderness.
Well, good for
and
her.
You see her. She's on the front porch drinking some tea. You see her walk inside the house. The camera goes into another room, and here's Wanda in her Scarlet Witch costume, reading from that magic book, The Darkholm, learning how to become an actual witch. My folks went, "Wait, there's two of her?" Not because they hadn't seen Doctor Strange.
They don't know about the astral projection.
They don't know about there's a term called astral projection, where if your body's over here, your spirit's over there.
Real people believe in that crap.
Sure.
I think
Doctor Strange uses it to help save his own life.
Yeah.
Also sounds like the beginning of every metal video.
Magic to make herself in two places.
But they were confused. They were like, "What? There's two of her now?"
Dude, like Multiplicity? That'd be
hilarious. That could have been an episode of the show.
Hey, the other national treasure, Michael Keaton.
Oh, man.
Who's also in the MCU.
You know who is also?
Yeah, he's a Spider-Man villain.
He's the Vulture.
He's the Vulture. He's the Vulture.
Oh.
He's in the first Spider-Man movie.
He's Birdman. I get it.
Yeah. The national treasure, Catherine Hahn.
She was Agatha
Harkness.
Fantastic in her role as this.
Not knowing anything about the show or anything, what was going on, she was definitely a mainstay of my favorite.
Oh, yeah, she was the best character in every episode.
Yeah. Yes.
She stole every scene she was in.
She chewed it up and spit it out.
The one where she was in the car and she's just sitting there and
at the stop sign.
Trying to talk. That was
the
awesome.
Halloween episode.
Yes. That's like that Malcolm in the Middle. That's still the best one, man.
And I love how she gets eviler and eviler, her costume becomes more and more spirit Halloween witch.
Oh, yeah.
It's excellent.
By the end, she was looking like the villain from that Halloween Town movie from the Disney Plus or the Disney Channel.
She's gone Halloween witch, and I'm here for it.
Like, she had like the big stupid brooch and everything.
Yeah. Well, that was another one of those reveal things where she's like, "You've become the Scarlet Witch," and I'm like, "That's got to be a thing. Is that a superhero?"
Well,
somebody look it up.
They kind of call back to that a little bit with the shield, not shield, the sword director guy, and they're talking about Wanda and like, wish she doesn't have like a weird nickname or something. Mm. And they're like, no, not that we know of. I'm like, it's coming.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
Oh, okay.
Guys, I hate to cut us off here,
oh,
but
no.
We've actually hit time. And actually, here's what I'm going to suggest we do. I'm going to actually stop the show here. But if you go on our podcast feed, we're going to keep talking about this and we're going to have like a little bonus thing. So just kind of a podcast only thing. So, but for now, let's wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
If you're feeling, you know, magic, you can scry our social medias on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com or give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline, 586-372-8020. Leave us a message. We might play it on the show.
That's right. You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. And finally, BJ, thank you for coming on the show. Why don't you take a minute and plug where people can find you online?
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. This is I'm learning so much, and that's kind of the premise of my podcast. It's Teach Dummy. Me and my buddy Tim Metcalf, we literally just try to sit down for an hour, and our goal at the end of the hour is to not be as dumb as when we started. And we've had Sam on a few times. You guys can check us out. Anywhere you can consume a podcast, except for YouTube. We don't really do video, but it's called Teach a Dummy Podcast. You can look up Teach a Dummy. And I don't know, that's about it. You can listen to us on there, I guess.
Well, awesome. Well, hey, thank you again for coming out. We really appreciate it. Oh, we'll have to have you back on sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This was a blast. I like learning.
Yeah. And all right. And thank you all for tuning in. And we will be back next week.
We can be pro Fortnite gamers.